Well, God bless everyone. So nice to be here. And I wanted to thank Reverend Sean Finnegan for the invitation. It's a real honor. Blessing to be here with you all. Take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 1. Let me be sharing with you today is we are enabled by the Spirit. And when Jesus Christ started his ministry in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, and they were fishers, or fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, Come, you after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets, and they followed him. And when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Go to chapter 3. The Lord said he just walked by the sea, and he was walking in a regular working man town, going down the beach, and sees these four guys and says, "Come, follow me. I will make you to become fishers of men." So the Lord knew exactly where he wanted them to go, exactly where he was going to take them. And I don't think they had a clue what was going on. But obviously, they got up and they went, praise the Lord. Chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, "And he goes up unto a mountain and called unto him whom he would. And they came unto him." He called the people that he wanted, the people that he wanted, and they came unto him. "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils." And then he lists them all, and he gives them all nicknames for, Simon. He calls him Peter. "Peter, you're a rock. Hey, you, rock, come here." I don't know, maybe it was Rocky or whatever, but it was rock, okay? And then it was real interesting to see, talks about here, "And John, the brother of James, surnamed them Barangas," or whatever that is, "which is the sons of thunder." And those are the guys that wanted to call down lightning from heaven to consume the town. So that they were the hotheads. These are the sons of thunder. Jesus just gave them nicknames according to their personality. "It's Rocky over here. I got the sons of thunder over here." One of these guys is called the mama's boy. That's for another teaching. Jesus called these 12 ordinary guys, very ordinary, probably never would have been friends with each other. One of them was a tax collector. The other one was a political zealot. Two opposite sides of the spectrum. Probably couldn't stand to be in the same room with one another outside of being with Jesus. Bunch of working men, fishermen. Later on in their, we'll get to it later on in the teaching, but they were all unlearned and ignorant men. There was nothing special about them at all. They were plain, ordinary folks. You know what that feels like? I do. Plain, ordinary people. Just regular folks. And the Lord chose them. I think it's terrific. Jesus called these guys as he went through the ministry here. He said about them, they were slow in heart to believe. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith. He did that several times. So what are you doing? You know? And then they were hard-hearted. They were argumentative. Peter was always quick with his mouth, slow to think. Almighty God had to yell at Peter. Mount Transfiguration. Shut up and listen to my son in whom I am well pleased. And he fell to the ground. I mean, you have to be really at the top of your game to get Almighty God to yell at you from a cloud. Does that qualify as a joke? No. To yell at you. Shut up, Peter. Be quiet. See, the Lord chose these 12. He didn't choose them for their ability. He didn't choose them for, in fact, he chose them for their lack of ability, I believe. He didn't choose them for their intellectual prowess or their stature in the community. And these are the men. Go to Matthew 28. That he gives the great commissioning. Now, this is quite a, in thinking the way I, when I was thinking about this and I was putting this together, it shook me. It was frightening to me. He chose these guys. These are the men who are going to, after he's gone, be responsible for the reconciliation of the world back to God. And he says to them in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, the end of the world, end of the age. The great commissioning is given to 12 plain men, very plain men, very unqualified. No, none of them gave in, what do you call those things? You know, a resume? None needed. You know? Jesus Christ invested his entire ministry in these 12. His entire ministry. He lived with them. He taught them. He trained them. He gave them power. He gave them authority to do miracles, to cast out spirits, to heal. Yet before the Last Supper, they were arguing with one another to see which one of them should be greater. There's just rank contention among them. They were complaining that a woman came and poured precious ointment on Jesus' feet. Said, why is such waste done? This could have been sold and given to the poor. Judas complained the most. He was a thief. This is just before the Last Supper. Do you think Jesus has done a good job yet? Do you think that they have changed yet? During the crucifixion, when he was taken, he couldn't find them for dust. They all forsook him. Probably the greatest insult of all. Peter denied him. They just ran away. After his death, they were all behind closed doors in absolute cowardice for fear of the Jews. And then after his resurrection, first of all, they didn't believe he was getting up. When Mary came back to the boys, Peter ran out to see whether this was true. Saw the napkin folded. He still went back perplexed. Thomas says, I ain't going to believe till I see him myself and put my fingers in his body. Then he shows up. The Lord shows up. He appears unto them in the midst of them. And they're all freaked. Then he doesn't show up for a little while. After that, they all went back fishing. They quit. Jesus shows up on the beach, making them a little breakfast. And then he has to say to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? These were the men that he invested everything in. Everything. There's no plan B, folks. There's no plan B for the salvation, the preaching of the gospel, to bring others to know God Almighty. And the Lord knew they didn't have it. He entrusted them with the gospel to reach the world. And all Jesus did, everything that he accomplished is invested in these 12 to witness for him after he's gone. Are they qualified? Are they qualified after being with Jesus? Are they like we put them in the churches in these stained glass windows with the little circle over their head? Are they holy, terrific, saintly? No, I don't think any of us would say that if we really read the book. But he gave them a promise. He said, my Father is going to send. And Jesus talked about this promise all throughout the minute. He looked forward to this because this would be the game changer. He trained them. He loved them. He lived with them. He taught them. He reproved them. He did all of this. But the game changer was going to be the promise that was coming from the Father. That would be, and the Lord knew this, that would be the enablement to do the job. And go to John chapter 4. See, without the Spirit of God that is going to be poured out on Pentecost, this is a flop. It's not going to happen. When in John chapter 4, Jesus very early in his ministry talked about the Spirit. He talked about it to the woman, the Samaritan woman. And she asked him, she figured out he was a prophet or something. And so she came up with the question, do we worship up here or over here in Jerusalem? And Jesus said, you have no clue what you're talking about. In verse 22, it says, you worship, you know not what. Haven't got a clue, lady. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Go to John 7. They're in great contention. Jesus is looking forward to this day that's coming when the true worship, God's going to pour out this spirit. They're going to worship right with spirit. In John 7, there's tremendous contention in one of the meetings. He's in Galilee, and then he goes up to the feast. And they're trying to figure out whether he's the Christ or not, and how can this guy be, and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, it's impossible for him to be the Messiah. Wasn't the Messiah supposed to come out of David and Bethlehem? How does this guy qualify? And Jesus, in the last day of that feast, in verse 37, in the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Go to John 14. The Lord is talking about, and he talks extensively about the Spirit in these chapters here. Reverend Vince Finnegan did a beautiful book on this that you ought to read and study, The Spirit of Truth. And but we're just going to touch a few verses here. The Spirit, he told them, this was at the Last Supper. He told them, verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," another paraclete, "that he may abide with you until the end of the age," forever is to the end of the age, "even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you," I'm right here, right now, "and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will not leave you orphanos, orphans. I will come unto you." Verse 20. "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." When this happens, you're going to know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. When it happens, they hadn't got a clue. These people were thick as rocks. Okay? Jesus, just a little bit before, after this, is going to say to them, "You're slow of heart to believe all the things that were written of the prophets concerning me." He was speaking to them, and God bless them, they put it down by revelation. And you and I get to read this. You're going to know that I am in my Father and you in me. And then verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." In verse 23, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode." We're going to live in them. In that day, when that Spirit was poured out, in that day, the first day, because they hadn't got a clue otherwise, these words just bounced off. It's like they bounced off of us so often when we heard them. They were going to know that they knew that they knew that they knew. It was going to be an absolute reality to them when they received that Spirit, that God in Christ was living within them, and they were one with the Father and His Son. And that changed everything. Everything. Luke 24. The day of the Ascension. See, without the Spirit, it's just a bunch of guys who were with Jesus, who heard His words, who didn't believe it all that much, wouldn't take a stand, certainly wouldn't put their lives on the line, even for Him as a friend. I don't know what you call them. They're like us. They're not worse than me. I don't know if I'd do better. I doubt it. I'd want to do better like Peter. Hey, you know, wherever you go, Lord, I'll be there. I'll never forsake you. Yeah, you're going to deny me three times, Pete, before the chickens crow. Hey, Rock. It was real intimate when I found out that these were nicknames. A lot of them were renamed, not for a spiritual reason. These were just their nicknames. You know? Thought that was kind of cute. Same thing I do with my friends. Luke 24, verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father." I've been talking about it. I've been waiting for it. I know this is the seal. The seal of the deal. I called you to make you fishers of men, and this is going to seal the deal. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, clothed with power from on high. The power is from God. They are going to be clothed with, like I'm wearing this suit. It's going to wrap them around. Go to Acts chapter 1. This is power from on high. Same day, day of the Ascension. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me. I've talked to you about this. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." They are going to be dipped in pure power. They are going to be clothed in the power of God. They are going to have God's presence and Christ's presence in their soul. In verse 8 it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is what the enablement does. This is what this Spirit gives us, you and I, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received this Holy Spirit. It gives us, it gave them the ability to stand, to witness, to stand for the Father, to hold forth the word, to do the miracles, the signs, the wonders. There's nothing special about doing a miracle. Remember Moses? He's my favorite example. God wanted to teach him how to do the miracles, divide the Red Sea and everything else. He said, what do you got in your hand? It was a stick. He said, throw it on the ground. It turned into a snake. What did Moses have to do with this? All he had to do is throw it on the ground. Can you throw the stick on the ground? Then you can do the miracle. God is the one who does it. You just obey. Pick it up by the tail. I don't want to pick it up by the tail. I don't want to pick it up. Do what you're told. He picked it up. It turned back into a stick. What? Stick your stick in the water. The sea splits. It's not Moses who is God. Moses simply obeyed. Was Moses qualified? I don't know why I'm on Moses. You know, the guy couldn't talk. He's arguing with God. I can't talk. I don't know what his problem was, but it was obviously serious enough to be arguing with God Almighty. God didn't care if he couldn't talk. You're the ones going to lead my people. You know, your inabilities are the best asset of your whole life. Because it's not in you. It is in God, in Christ, in you. They were just regular people. I don't want to knock them any more than I would knock myself, but I'm not qualified to do this job. Never have been. Couldn't hand you my resume. And that's the truth. Whatever their benefit there has been to God's people, it's because of God. So the Spirit comes that day. They're going to receive power from on high. They're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They are going to receive this power. And all they did was have to stay at Jerusalem. Just wait. 10 days later, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. What a thing God is doing in his house. And they were all filled. They were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They manifested the Spirit of God, and speaking in tongues is prayer. It's giving thanks. It's eulogizing God. And when the people saw what they and they understood, which was a miracle, what they were saying, it says they heard them speak in their tongues the wonderful works of God in verse 11. And then you know what happens? The guy who ran away, the guy who Jesus had to ask, do you love me? After he gets this Spirit, this power, he stands up in front of thousands. Thousands upon thousands. And he says in verse 14, he stands up with the 11 and he lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. You listen to me. Where did his guts come from? Not from within Peter. Where did this boldness come from? Not within Peter. He knew he had God dwelling in him. He knew he had his Lord dwelling in him. He knew that a supernatural event had taken place and he was changed to his core. And when you die to yourself and you recognize and believe and accept what you have and what is within you, you will be changed to your core. And he started speaking and he says, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour, 9 a.m. in the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he gives them, and where did Peter get this information? Either the Lord's telling him right here and now, or he told him during those 40 days. But one way or the other, he's going to make the word of God known to them. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit on everybody, everyone who believes. This spirit is poured out. This is the promise of the Father. And you are able to walk, manifest, and know that God is dwelling within you. You've got fellowship with your Father. You go to some churches and you hear people praying. They don't have a relationship with God. God, please, if you would, maybe, would you please help me? They don't know him. I know him. You know him. You choose to believe. And not everything's come to pass yet. We're in these last days. Our Lord's coming back. Hope it's real soon. I hope some of these guys on the internet are right. I don't see how they could be, but I really hope that they are. That would be nice. A couple of years. Wow. The Lord says, verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. And then he preaches Christ and the resurrection. He tells them the message. He preaches the gospel. And he hits them hard with it. He says, you killed him. And you know what's going to happen when he gets done here? 3,000 are going to believe. 3,000. You want to talk about revival? This is how it doesn't come from the rock, the pebble. It doesn't come from the sons of thunder, the hotheads. It come from the Spirit of God that dwelled within them. When they allowed God to speak, out of their belly flowed this rivers of living water. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And they prayed for more boldness when this was over. It was God that changed the people who killed Jesus. And changed their hearts when they cried out, what shall we do? And he said, repent, every one of you. And Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. It's a gift. God pours out, it's given. He didn't give it to people because they were holy. He gave it to them because they were bums. Because they were dead in trespasses and sins. And they couldn't do a blessed thing, even when they were with Jesus. Even when he trained them, even when he taught them, they couldn't stay faithful. They couldn't do it on their own. They needed this gift, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you got to learn to rely upon it. and die to yourself and rely not on your ability. I have so many people tell me, oh, I really can't do that. I'm not qualified to teach. You've got God in Christ in you. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell God you can't. Don't tell your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross for you, that I really can't do that. Suck it up and just believe. Throw down your stick and watch God work. God revived Israel. He revived the world because he had 11 unqualified men who were willing to accept the Spirit of God and let God work within them. They just preached. They did what they were supposed to do. He said, that promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's there for everybody. Don't let anybody talk you out. The world is filled with lies. There are two gods. One gives you words of life. The other, God, gives you worlds of bondage and lies of bondage and fear. Don't you ever allow yourself to be talked, because you've got God in Christ in you. Boy, we got half my teaching. In Acts chapter 2, well, let's go to Acts chapter 3 here for a second. In verse 9, I want to point out this. After the man was healed at the temple gate, beautiful, the man who had laid there since he was a kid, about 40 years, rich guy, just asking alms, and he got healed. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which hath happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he was just hugging them. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Simon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people and said, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? And why look you so earnestly on us, on me and John here? What are you looking at me for? As though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk. It's not by my ability. That's why Jesus picked the fishermen, the rock, the sons of thunder, the hotheads. That's why he picked the outcast, Matthew, the tax collector. That's why he picked the people who he picked, because they were unimpressive. It's not by us. I want you to know it's by the power of God. It's not by us, by our holiness, that's made this man to walk. The God of Abraham has done it. And he sent his son. And he died. And you killed him. But God raised him from the dead. And 5,000 believed. We'll talk about revival. I pray for the privilege. And then when the Pharisees say, oy vey, look at what they're doing. I mean, we lost 7,000 people here, 8,000 people in the last couple of whatever, of following these guys. So they take them in. They take them in, and they put them on the stage. Remember what the Lord said to them? Listen, when they put you up for judgment, don't think about what you're going to say. The Spirit will give you the answer when you need it. And they said, but what power, but what authority do you speak and do these things? And he says, you know what? If we are here being judged because of the good deed that was done to the impotent man, I want to tell you, it was by the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands here before you whole. And then they threatened him, and they said, we don't want you to speak anymore in this name. And Peter said, listen, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You judge it. For we cannot speak the things that we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because the people and for all glorified God. Everybody was giving the Father the glory. The Father got the glory. They got it. God is among them. He has sent the Spirit. It's working within these and those who believe on him. And God is doing these signs and miracles and wonders. You and I are in the same boat. You know, in Corinthians, it talks about in Corinthians, not many mighty are called, not many powerful, whatever. God has chosen the weak and the beggarly things to confound the wise, that the power might be of God and not of us. It is so cool that you don't have much ability, because you can rely upon God easier than the people who do have ability. You know, that's a struggle. Die to your flesh. Die to yourself. I am just so grateful and thankful. God Almighty is this merciful, this kind, this loving, to call us the sons of God that dwell within us, to help and to direct us. I pray that he works within us the will and to do of his good pleasure. That every opportunity I get a chance, I get to serve him on the things that he wants done. We have so much to be thankful for. And God revived and changed the people that crucified Christ to a people that are still witnessing today. And the reason that you and I are in this room, it didn't die because it wasn't on them. It was on the Spirit. So, Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you so much, Father, for that beautiful gift. Help us, Father, to empty ourselves and to walk by it, Father, to manifest it, and to always be ready, Father, to give an answer to every man of the hope that we have within us with meekness and fear. Help us, Father, in all these things, and help us to be a part of the revival of our nation and this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.